right. My Bible's open to the 13th chapter of Nehemiah. We're going to turn to the 13th chapter of Nehemiah. We'll read from that text here in just a moment. When I said the old folks rally this morning, I didn't want to offend anybody. That's me. I'm on the shady side of the hill, just like a lot of folks here. I want to come to that. It's going to be a great event, and we're going to learn a lot. I'm just making mention that usually, this is the exception, that on a youth rally, they don't have adult classes because adults aren't invited. So we're invited to this one, and it will be a successful one. I'm sure much here will be done from it, teaching from God's Word, and a very much of a necessity steering our young people in the path of righteousness, because there's a lot out there in the world that would get them off that path. Nehemiah chapter 13, beginning verse 23, Nehemiah says this, Nehemiah, in those days, he says, also I saw that the Jews who had married women of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab, and half their children spoke the language of Ashdod, and could not. They could not speak the language of Judah, but only the language of each people. Now, you know, I thought about that. What if you were taking a driver's class, driver instructor? You had to learn how to drive. And you met up with your instructor. This was the first day of UPS in my life. I had a supervisor over there that I couldn't understand. The first stop that we made, he said, I want you to come up here and I want you to make a light and then take a rest. And it paused there for a minute. But that reminded me of this. If you had a driver that was instructing you how to drive, and he was sitting over next to you, and he said, you just take a hold of that wheel of bob and get that thing to jig, and let's go down to Hoop-de-Doo. What would you say? And he would say, now just go ahead and push down on that thing to jig down on the floor. And the pedal? Yeah, just press on it. Which one? It doesn't matter. Just press on one. We'll see which way it goes. Now, at very best, if you had an instructor like that, at best, you would learn how to drive with it, because he's not very clear on his instruction on how to drive, how to teach you to drive. And of course, at work, you'd have an accident. So we need to hear, in a lot of areas in our life, very clear instructions. We need to hear clear language if we're going to be able to learn anything. Clear instruction is important. If we're going to act correctly, if we're going to think correctly, if we're going to talk correctly, because that, all of that clears the way for clear action in the things that we do and believe and speak. And I think, and I look at that passage in Nehemiah, and I think that that's why Nehemiah was so concerned that these children, they didn't know God's language. They didn't know how to speak to God. They didn't know the language of Judah. And instead, they only knew the language of Ashdod. That's a Philistine city. And they here they're speaking in terms of Ashdod. And when you speak in terms of Ashdod, you're talking about idols, you're talking about idol worship, and that's all they knew. And how could they possibly talk to God if they didn't know anything but the language of Ashdod? How could they act and behave according to how God wanted them to act and behave if they didn't know any other language but the language of Ashdod? And most importantly, how could they serve God? How could they worship the true and living God if they didn't know the language of God? When we speak wrong, I think it reveals a lot of times our thinking is wrong. We need to be careful how we speak. We need to be careful the way that we say things. But I want to spotlight this evening, I think that is something that is the language of Ashdod that I've heard. I want to talk about the expression Church of Christ. You know, increasingly I hear people in the church use phrases like, I'm Church of Christ. I'm a Church of Christ. He's a Church of Christ preacher. What's that mean? When people say that, what does that mean? I hear people say that all the time, and it's really fuzzy, I think. That kind of language, something's happening here, and I hope you already understand that when you read your Bible, when you look in the Bible, there's no such language like that. And you look at what the Bible, how Peter wrote, what Paul wrote, what the apostles wrote in the Bible, and you never read in there them writing, this is what the Church of Christ teaches on that matter. You don't read that, that's not in the Bible, there's no language like that. But I hear that expressed. And I hear it from time to time, and I wonder, When I fear it, it is a telltale sign that maybe some of us are thinking wrong and have a wrong picture about the church. And if we're thinking wrong, we're talking wrong. And if we're talking and thinking wrong, we're doomed to act wrong. And so you can see the language of Ashdod in a lot of areas might crept in with a few of maybe the way that we think. That's why I want to tell you, as I said this morning, I am not a Church of Christ Christian. I'm not. And I hope you're not. I'm not a Church of Christ Christian. I want you to understand what I mean when I say that. Because there are problems with this Ashdodian language that sometimes we don't even think. We don't see the end result when we start to speak that way. I want to examine our speech. I want us to examine what we say, how we say things, and what it means. And I want you to understand what I mean when I say I'm not a Church of Christ Christian. And if you use that term that kind of way, I want you to pay particularly close attention to maybe the things that we're going to talk about this evening. And when you're speaking about the Lord's church, maybe the language of Ashdod come out of your mouth. And that needs to change. What exactly is the Church of Christ? What does that mean? Well, maybe a refresher, a little refresher course on that, and maybe the best way to do that is look at the concept of the church as it is written in the New Testament. And what exactly, when we're talking about the church specifically, when we talk about the church as the scriptures reveal the church, what does that mean? Well, as you think about the word church, the term is like a herd. It's like flock. It's like trust. Alright? When you think of the word church, and I understand that from grammar, the language, the word church is a collective noun. Well, now let's look at Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, in verse 23, here is Paul talking about this very thing. And here about the church, here's what he says in verse 23, Acts 14, verse 23. He says, "And when they appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed." Now, drop down to verse 27. You'll see there. "When they had arrived, they gathered the church together and declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles." A flock is a collection of sheep. Herd is a collection of cattle. A club or a team is a collection of people. The church is a collection of saved people. That's what the church is. That's all it is. The church is a collection of saved people. In fact, you look at Acts chapter 8, right after Paul contended with the death of Stephen, as you look at what he did at verse 1, we're told the following. Acts chapter 8, look at that passage. Verse 1 says this: "There arose on that great day, or that day, great persecution against the church." Where was it? It was in Jerusalem. "And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." Now notice the word, the connection there between church and they. The church was persecuted and they were scattered. What's the church made of? The church is made of people, alright? And what happened here? Well, they scattered in every direction when the persecution began. And I think that's a vital point. You recognize that the church is people. That's what the scriptures reveal. When people start talking about the church, alright, or using the term church in some way that's beyond more than people, when you begin thinking about the church more than just people, something seriously is amiss. Because then, when you hear that, they're not talking scripturally, they're not talking accurately, because in the Bible, the church means people. That's what it means. And it means people in one of two ways. It means people in both a local way, and it means people also in a universal way. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul begins the letter to the collection, or to the saved people. He's talking to the saved people at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Notice what he says. He's an apostle now. Jesus Christ by the will of God. Verse 2. "To the church of God." Where's it at? It's at Corinth. "To those who have been sanctified in Jesus Christ," he says, "saints by calling with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ," he says, "the Lord is ours." Well, what's Paul saying there? If you look at that, So he says there's some saved people that are collecting together in a geographical location, Corinth. That's it. And the people in that area belong to Christ. They're the saved people in that location, of course. That's simply what it's saying. Now, that's the dominant use of the word church in the New Testament. As you look at that, and that's how we use it here at Sandyville, same way. This local congregation of Christ here at Sandyville, what that mean? What is it? Well, you're the saved people. You're the ones in Christ. You're the saved people in this geographical location called Sandyville. That's what we are. I had a couple of people say I was a Sandyville, but I don't know about that. So we're the saved people here. What are we doing here? Working, serving God, worshiping God in spirit and in truth in this location. That's the most common use of the word church in the New Testament. But it's not the only use of the word in the New Testament. Matthew 16. All right, in Matthew 16, in this passage, how Jesus uses the passage, Peter just asked, who is Jesus? And of course, he makes the confession. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 16. Peter responds that way. And Jesus recognizes that confession. We had a lesson about the cornerstone, that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone that the builders rejected. Guess what? It's on that confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God that the church is going to be built. It's on that statement that the Son of Man, that is going to be his church. He's going to build everything around that. We're not going to deny that Jesus is the Christ. That's what he says in verse 18. Verse 18, he says, on that statement, on that rock, on that confession, he says, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, when Jesus says that, that's not a promise to build Sandyville. That's not a promise to build a local congregation in a local area anywhere. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's going to build the church, the faith, the collection of saved people for all time. That's what that means. The church universal. You notice there, you think about that, can we get the church universal together at any time?
No.
You know why? Some people are dead. Some of them are dead that's been in the church. Think about that. But that's what that term means. It means really the slaves of all time. That's what Jesus is talking about. It's not just the local church. It's all the saved people, all the people that belong to God. Now, the word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia. That means called, lesia out. Called out. Now, what have we been called out of? Well, we've been called out of the world. We've been called out of the world of sin and darkness. We've been called out of something, and now we're in something. What are we in? We're in Christ. We're in His body. We're in His church. And really, that's what the word ecclesia means. That's what the church means. But again, notice, in those passages, it's still people. The church is still people. Now, already you can see when somebody says, you know, I'm Church of Christ. What? I'm Church of Christ Christian. There's something amiss when I say that statement. Because they're not using that as a collective noun to refer to a group of people that's been called out by the Lord, either in a local sense or a universal sense. They're using that term when you say I'm Church of Christ, they're using that in some other fashion, and I think it creates all kinds of problems. Well, the problems I think it creates difficulty, because I think people become confused when you say that. When you respond that way, and because what you really mean when you say that is all churches are equal. That's what you mean when you say that, whether you mean it or not. Someone's thinking that right now. What's this sermon anyway? We're talking about grammar. We're talking about language. What does it all mean? I think that when you say that, I think maybe some of us are confused about Christianity, about what a New Testament Christian is, and what it means to be a member of the body of Christ, what it means to be a member of the church of Christ. Here we are in this religious conversation. People are talking about where they go to church. Their faith, their beliefs, what they believe in. You're in this conversation. Somebody says, well, I'm a Baptist. And then somebody says, well, I'm a Methodist. And somebody says, well, I'm Presbyterian. Well, somebody says, I used to be Pentecostal. But now I'm Catholic. And then they say to you, what are you? Well, I'm Church of Christ. Now, what have you just done when you respond that way? In that kind of a conversation. Well, what you've done, you've just reinforced the very common thinking of today that everybody's just the same. That all churches are just the same. That's what you did
when you respond, it's that way. It's just a matter of personal preference. That's the message that you say when you say that. That it's just a matter of personal preference. You go to church, it's your choice. There are many roads, we know that. We said that this morning. They all lead to heaven. You're a Methodist, I'm just a Christ. It's all the same. You see how that language is? Do you see how that sounds? It's just different flavors of the same thing. That's what you're saying. Because we're all Christians here. Remember the octane illustration? You're chocolate, I'm vanilla. I tell you what, I'm cookies and cream. You got your favorite flavor, I got my favorite flavor. And then it's just a matter of personal choice. Oh, we're out of chocolate, well, I'll take vanilla. It doesn't matter. There's some people even like vanilla. Think about that. That's how that is. It's all, we can joke about that. Why? Because it's just personal choice. It's just all, just personal preference. So when we say I'm Church of Christ, that's the message. We're saying it's all the same. There's no significant difference in that conversation. I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, I'm Church of Christ. There's no difference in that conversation. And that's what we're saying. That's the message we're sending. You're a Christian, I'm a Christian, it's all good. That's what we're saying. I know that's the message. Because the conversation goes something like this. Hey, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Baptist. What are you? I'm a Christian. I'm just a Christian. Wow. Wow. I know you're a Christian. We're all Christians. What kind of Christian are you? What stripe are you? You see, that's how that conversation will go. What flavor? What kind? Remember, you're okay, I'm okay. We're all okay. We're just different kinds of Christians. I'd like to inject some scripture here, but I can't. Because there isn't any. There isn't any scripture at all that says they're hyphenated Christians, that they're Baptist Christians, that they're Methodist Christians, that they're Presbyterian Christians, that they're Catholic Christians, because they are not. There's nowhere found in the New Testament. And I look at that, biblically, you can't find it in the Scripture. It's not there. 1 Corinthians, again. We'll look at 1 Corinthians in verse 10. Here's the circumstance where Chapter 1, verse 10, where people were adding to their Christianity, the very things that we're talking about right now, where they're not content just to be in Christ and just be a Christian, but they've got to put something in front of their Christianity. And that's what Paul says in verse 10. He says, "Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you may complete," he says, "be made complete in the same mind and the same justice. For I've been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that you are filled among you. Now I mean this, that each of you is saying, I'm Paul. I am of Apollos. I am Cephas. I am Christ." Paul sees some hyphenated Christians here. Paul sees Cephas Christian. He sees Paul Christian. He sees Apollos Christian. You know what he wants? He wants that stuff. There's no partyism in being Christian. There to be wearing no other name. But here at Corinth, they won't. Well, I'm a Paul Christian. I'm an Apollos Christian. There's no different flavors in Christianity, is what Paul is saying. There's none of that. That's why I don't want to be a Church of Christ Christian. All right? I just want to be a Christian. Different flavors of Christianity are not found in the Scriptures. In Ephesians 4, the Scriptures teach about this. Look at that. Let's go. Paul says in verse 4, Ephesians 4, notice what he says. Ephesians 4, verse 4, there is one body, there's one spirit, just as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all. Paul says in you all. How many churches are there? Not very many different flavors there. Looks like there's just one there. Not different stripes there. There's no variations there. Verse 4 said there's one. There's one body, one church, one kingdom. That's what Paul says. In fact, what we're really talking about, what are we really talking about here? When you look at all this, can we just be a Christian? Can't we just be Christians? Can't we just follow what the New Testament says? Can't we just follow Jesus Christ and His teaching and just be plain Christians that the Bible speaks of? Really, that's what we're asking. And while we're recognizing that, what separation divides us? You know what? If people would just let go of the rules, if people would just let go of the creeds and the constitutions that men have made up, the things that make Methodists Methodists,
and Baptist, and Pentecostal, if folks just give that up, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that make the Lord happy to be that united? Sure he would. In fact, that's what he prayed about. John chapter 17. Notice what he said. Verse 21. Here's the Lord praying about that. That they may all be one. Even as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be in us. So that the world may believe that you sent me. How's that going to happen? That there's unity. That there is one. That's why this matters. That's why we're talking about this idea of pure New Testament Christianity. Things that are being taught today. And really just found and practiced in the Scriptures. Can you tell me if there's anything more important than just being a plain Christian? Just be a Christian. But the opportunity to simply follow Jesus Christ and simply follow the teachings of Christ and make application and changes in our life. Can you think of anything more important to do in your life than just do that? So when we say I'm just a Christian, and somebody says, what kind? And well, there's all just all kinds of Christians. What kind of Christian are you? When you just say, listen, I'm a New Testament Christian. I'm just a Christian. You know what? You're making one of the most strongest evangelistic statements that you can make. You're taking a stand for truth and right. When you say that to somebody, when somebody asks you what kind of a Christian you are, and you just say, I'm just a New Testament Christian. I'm just a plain Christian. We're making a powerful statement when we say that. What are you eating? Chocolate ice cream. What are you eating? Vanilla ice cream. What are you eating? Chicken noodle soup. I'll tell you what, that'll get some sense. Mom, you're not going with the flow when you respond that way. And we don't want to confuse people. But I'll tell you what we want to do. We want to step out and we simply want to do an appeal to what God's Word says. And we want to stand for the truth. We want to stand for truth and right. And we want to recognize that there aren't a bunch of different kinds of Christians. Just one. I would say as well that I think sometimes that we use this term, I'm Church of Christ. Because I think it reveals that we actually think that the Church of Christ is some kind of denomination. That we're part of this big conglomerate that many denominations are. What's a denomination? Well, risk of putting half of you to sleep and the other half mad. Here we are talking about grammar. Now I'm going to talk about fractions. And every fraction, denomination, what that thing's on the bottom, that's a denomination. That's what that is. And you think about that, That signifies something when you draw that line, that thing's on the bottom. That you can cut that up. All right? You can make a bunch of however many the top number allows you to make. That's a denomination. A denomination is a church, is a group of churches, actually, is what it is. It's many churches, but it has an association. It's a league, it's a network, it's an entity, it's an organism. It's an organization that actually makes decisions for all the other churches that it's involved with. That's what a denomination is. That's the idea. A denomination is an association of churches that are all tied together. That's what that means. And you can think about all kinds of Methodists have that kind of organization. The Assembly of God have that kind of organization. And what it is something bigger than the local congregation. That's when you're involved in denominationalism. And when you get that association, what happens is that association, it begins to have a life of its own. And folks in the congregations around, they just wait for that big giant up there in that office in Dallas to tell them what to do and what to believe in and how they must act. Now, when you begin getting orders like that from Dallas or L.A. or New York, you're part of the denomination. That's how that works. I've heard somebody say, what the Church of Christ teach on that? Did you hear? What the Church of Christ teach on that? Did you hear that? Now what you just heard, what's your denomination say about that? That's what they just asked you. Is that a Church of Christ school? Did you hear? There's something behind that. There's an organization. There's a group of churches all behind that have endorsed that, supported that. How does that go? Is he a Church of Christ preacher? Did you hear? Well, somewhere out there, like you guys didn't know, they will deign me to preach to you. See how that is? Somewhere out there, I've met the approval. But by the foe, since I'm a Church of Christ preacher, Dallas has put their stamp of approval on me, and I go all around the churches of preaching. Did you hear? He's Church of Christ preaching. He's ordained now to speak in all the churches. What's being said when you hear those things? That the Church of Christ is a denomination. That's what's being said. That's the language of Babylon. It has some entity, some organization, some setup that can approve, that can confirm, that can print, that can do, that can tell us exactly what to do. That's a denomination. And what that says is there's something bigger than just this place right here. Just a local congregation that calls itself Christ. And the organization be referred to you again, Methodist. They have their denomination, Lutherans, the same way. I'm part of a big organization. That's the thinking of the religious folks out there today. Now, I like to read some scripture there too, but I admit I cannot. There's nothing in the Bible about that. There's not a thing in the world, not a thing in the book about that kind of thing, that kind of setup. There's actually nothing there at all. And when Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, I'm going to build my church, he wasn't talking about some big organization that was headquartered somewhere in the country or in the world. That fed us exactly what we needed to know. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about any kind of association. There's no discussion about that in the scripture. There's no talk about how to form that, how to govern that, how to make decisions about it. There's nothing in there about the offices that something like that would hold. It's just not in the book. But you know what? There's always been struggles about that. Boy, we're tempted to be like others, aren't we? We want to be like the others. Give us a king. Everybody else got a king. Boy, look at the setup all these other churches have. Boy, look how much good they're doing. Hey, let's send our money down to Cincinnati to the Missionary Society. They'll pick out the preachers, and we got to do send them to the deck. Oh, we wanted to do stuff like that. Oh, man, the temptation's there. We want to be like the denomination. Boy, we used to fight that a lot, but I don't know so much anymore. I've seen signs that don't look good, doesn't look pretty on the horizon. We want to be like those guys. Why are you preaching against that? We're going to do all this good. Then you can tell. We're going to be speaking the language of Ashdod. And we're going to be doing the things to conquer the scripture. Well, you know, do you have your hand out still? I hope you kept it from this morning. Something that I want to read, and it's from a woman named Naomi Walsh, who is a minister. And if the name sounds like a woman, it is a woman. Her name's Naomi. And right away, when I say that she's a minister in residence at the Church of Christ, you're going to say, well, she can't be a minister of the Church of Christ. Yes, she is. She's one of the first, if not the first, women preachers that are in the church. And she's filling the pulpit regularly and at a place that's called the Church of Christ. And she's hired there to be the preacher. This quote from her first sermon, it's on your handout. I was raised in the Church of Christ. When I was deciding where to go to college, I only considered Church of Christ school. And for my MDiv, my master's in divinity, I chose another Church of Christ school. In this time of transition, and here she's talking about her and her husband, as we searched for a church home, I thought about leaving Churches of Christ, so that I could more easily find work in a church. But I could no more leave Churches of Christ as I could leave my family. I will always be Church of Christ. Even if I stopped attending Church of Christ and started attending another church, Church of Christ would not stop being my teacher. Now, I don't think there's much wrong with that. I don't even know where to start. But when I look at that, and I'm like, you know, it's really the first problem clearly is, just like ice cream, that matter of course. Or just taking this matter of personal preference. Here she says, I thought of leaving the Churches of Christ. Why? So she can find more work, more easily. God didn't know when he followed me, I'm just going down the road. I find good work. Look everywhere out there for preaching. You know that? And I didn't like vanilla, so I'm going to take chocolate. That's what she's saying here. It's no big deal, matter of personal choice. There's no indication that would be a problem if she did that. That would be sinful if she did that. That would be a sign of apostasy. That she's a prostitute. It's not there. No, you just go wherever you want to go. You just do whatever you want to do. How can you use that term, Church of Christ? When you read what she says, what is this Church of Christ? She's not talking about local church. She's not talking about church universal. What's she talking about? She's talking about some denomination. That's what she's talking about. She's talking about an association of churches together. That's what she's talking about. All the churches of Christ taken together. That's what she's talking about. She's a member of some denomination that you and I are part of. That's what she is. And you know what? If I need to change my beliefs, and I hope you change yours, that way a woman can get a job preaching in the Church of Christ a lot easier. But even if I can't, I'm always going to be Church of Christ. It's just an organization. Naomi Walters is speaking the language of Ashdod. It's not clear here. She believes she's a member of the denomination, but you cannot read anything about such a denomination in the Word of God. A lot of people think that way. Lots of people think that this is just some huge denomination. Lots of people think that way, especially those of the world. There's a Methodist Assembly, Presbyterian Synod, and then there's the Church of Christ, and they've got this denomination authorization to do whatever they want. Tell us what to do. You know, 1 Peter, let's go there. 1 Peter chapter 5. Here's the governing authority in the church. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, Peter says, I exhort the elders, where are they at? Where are the elders? Where? Among you. Right here. Right here. Not Dallas, not L.A., not New York. The elders that are among you. Right here. Right here, local. Among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker of the glory that is to be revealed. There's no national apparatus. There's no national office. This is local, independent. This is an autonomous congregation that is overseen by local elders. That's what this is. That's what the truth is. And you know the truth of the matter is there are churches of Christ, especially in the Midwest right now, that are dragging in musical instruments by the handful. Big time. It's a big issue. And do you know what? They're not going to get a call from anybody. They're not going to get a call from Dallas, L.A., or New York that says, hey, you need to take your time down because you've got an instrument now. No. It's not going to happen. And their churches of Christ will bring in one preacher out from the pulpit. Nobody's going to call Stanford, Connecticut and tell Naomi, hey, you need to stop preaching. You've got to take your time down. That's not going to happen. Why not? Because we're not part of a huge denomination. That's why not. Who decides what Christians believe? Who decides what the work of the church is? Jesus does. Jesus does. Ephesians chapter 4. Excuse me, 1. Notice what he says. Paul, verse 22. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things the church. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church universal. He's the right hand of God, ruling over this kingdom. He's making those decisions. He's running the show. He's running this show. And we submit to his authority. That's the eternal plan of God. All the denominational networking, not found in Scripture. How did we form that anyway? How did we do that? Who would govern that? Who would sit in the offices of something like that? Of something the Bible don't even instruct us about. I don't know. I think it's absurd. Truth of the matter is, the Church of Christ, the true called out people of Christ, to Him, is in no way, shape, or form a denomination. We're non-denominational. Well, I tell you, when I say to somebody, I'm Church of Christ, I went to Church of Christ school, what are we saying? We're telling them people somehow, somewhere, there's something else. We're denominational in nature. That's what we're saying. Acts 20 and 28, the scripture reading, I think there's an overwhelming tendency to not kind of limit the significance of this, but I'm going to tell you something, folks. The church that you're a member of, the body that you're a member of, was purchased with the blood of Christ. This local congregation of Christ was purchased with the blood. That's how it was bought. I'm going to tell you something. There's no more blood any more precious than the blood of Jesus Christ. Look what it did. Look what it has done. Well, it needs to matter to us. It needs to matter how we talk. It needs to matter because how we talk reflects how we think. And how we think reflects how we act and how we interact. First and foremost, if you're saying from time to time things like I'm Church of Christ, Church of Christ teaches, you need to stop doing that. It's just not that. It's not scripture. Unscripture. And it may reveal that you don't have a good understanding of what the New Testament church is and your knowledge of it's a little fuzzy. You need to study up on that. And don't tell people I'm Church of Christ, or don't tell people I'm a Church of Christ Christian. Don't do that. That's the language of Asdod. If somebody asks you what you are, you tell them you're a Christian. You just tell them you're a Christian. You get ready. Spark my thought. But you be ready for an answer. You give an answer. We need to speak like the Bible speaks. We need to talk like the Bible talks. We need to reflect that in our life, in our language, in our actions, in our thinking. Not the language of Asdod. Not the language of Naomi and Walt. Not her. Remember that. And you know what? When you say to somebody that I'm a Christian, you use that as an opportunity. That door opens to teach somebody the truth of the gospel. That's what that'll do. But I'll tell you what, the door will close. If we're all talking and we're all one big happy family, I'm Baptist, I'm Church of Christ, all in the group. No. No, it's not. No, that's contrary to Scripture. That's contrary to what we've been teaching. Finally, whenever you hear somebody say the word church, make sure that they're talking about teaching. Make sure they're talking about teaching. Because anything else that's referred to anything else or any way else, every buzzer, every red flag needs to go on. Just make sure everybody knows church is just a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you're lost. I can say that. That's not the language of Asdod. This is the invitation. We do this every time we're offended. Guess what? There's a lot of folks not doing this. Got a call from New York the other day that said the place that this person was attending, they did not offer the invitation. But as tradition has it, we do. You're outside of Christ, you're lost. If you've never responded to the gospel, you're lost. We give you this opportunity each and every time. And it's fitting, I believe, to give anyone that is outside of Christ that is lost the opportunity to become a Christian. Just a plain New Testament Christian by simple obedience. Please come as together we stand in front.